Blog Talk Radio.
We live.
We're live.
Live from Chicago and Las Vegas. You're tuned in to the show that's always on top of what's trending. It's Page One.
It's Page One.
With LeVar and Mary.
With LeVar and Mary.
And what's going on, Blog Talk Radio Nation and Page One Nation across the U.S. and around the world? We are with you for another edition of Page One for this Friday night, March 8th, 2024. We are about, what, the second week into March? You know, we started on March 1st. Second week.
Yeah, I was going to say technically, maybe, question mark, first poll week.
Technically, the first full week into March. So there's a lot going on tonight. I'm going to try to remember as much as I can, because this upcoming weekend, it is daylight saving time. We got that coming up. It is International Women's Day. We've got things with the Almanac coming up here shortly. The Oscars is happening on Sunday. And we've got all of us survived one way or another the Facebook and Instagram debacle this week, where I hope you're all okay and you're marked safe. And we've got two big announcements for you tonight. I think I could kind of do now. Things are kind of cleared. So those involve upcoming 411 lounges, and a programming note for this broadcast. So, so much. And, oh, did I mention? We've still got Retro Moto of the Week. We've got, when we have a little time tonight, we'll also have Smoking Gun Files. We'll take a look at what's trending. Tonight is pretty much potpourri night. it is a lot of stuff. Bear with us. We'll make our way through it. And all of that. And I bring in my wonderful friend, Mary. How are you?
I'm fine. You seem very overwhelmed with everything that's going on right now.
That's a lot going on, man. It's just like way too much. Even going into the, you know, normally when we go into the show, there's pretty much about, really, throughout the week, one or two topics that we kind of go on, depending upon things that are coming up, we'll touch on those. Oh, also even had a top five, just in case. So it's been a lot of stuff being worked on. So that will be an Oscars list in honor of this Sunday's Oscars. I know Mary doesn't like top five, so I came up with one. Also, in L-Files, we haven't done that in a minute. Which is two odd baseball stories in the month of March.
Okay.
I will tell you exactly what those are. Here's the funny thing. Mary probably only knows about 10% of the show tonight. I did not tell her about the other portion of the show because some of the stories I kind of wanted her to hear for the first time. Kind of spoils the whole thing.
Oh, I love it when that happens, though.
So, yeah, I guess with all of that, how has your week been?
my week has been quite an emotional week. Pre-host chat that we normally had, I was filling LeVar into. I received some training this week on a topic that's actually something that is very near and dear to my heart, something I'm very passionate about and I wish more people would feel more comfortable talking about, which is thoughts of suicide and suicide awareness. Really good class, but because it's a really good class, of course, there's a lot of emotion. So I had an emotional week this week. And yeah, freaked some people out a little bit. Apparently I'm a little bit more cold and calculated when, or more reserved. We'll go with the reserved. in my normal everyday dealings with most people. So when I was emotional, they got a little surprised. But it was good. It was a very good training. Highly recommended. If people feel like they want to talk about that stuff, there's plenty of places that, like on our Discord, on other people's Discords that actually have that kind of those kind of resources. So,
yeah, it is something, you know, and I think I have touched on it here lately because especially in the last few weeks where we've seen a couple of celebrities succumb to that.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was just a few weeks ago that I actually posted again the national number for the suicide prevention hotline. It is, you know, everyone, especially in times like this, man, I got to tell you, there is so much stuff that's going on. And you see it, especially online, with people who literally are crying for help one way or another, whether it's through their Facebook post or through their tweets. And, you know, I think we touched on this show a few weeks ago about how there was a thing from Elmo of Sesame Street who just put a simple question out there asking, you know, in earnest, how is everyone doing? And it brought apart a wave of people who just poured their emotions out in response to a tweet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is not a seasonal thing, even though there is some seasonal depression, but it's not a seasonal thing. It's year round. And I think that's why we have to be so careful with words that we say, and also how we treat others. You know, I usually now carry on the, you know, the continuing thing on this show where I say at the end, take care of yourselves and each other, because it is true. A lot of times with suicide, the thing that is left is the lingering feeling of how could I have helped to, you know, prevent it. And we're stuck with that question because we don't have an answer. And sometimes we blame ourselves. You know, sometimes, you know, we take it to heart. And I don't, you know, training in which, you know, it takes you through a dark road, I'm sure. But, yeah, and it affects everyone. I've had a family member who's done that. And, you know, I know for many years afterwards was always the question of, you know, what would have happened had someone known? And you just don't. And so it definitely takes you through a lot of loops. But yeah, if you know someone or if, you know, if you know anyone that needs help, please direct them to that number. Yes.
There's actually, and this is something I learned during the training, they've updated, there's the 800 number that's still available, but now there is 988,
yes,
and
text.
It's kind of a weird start for the show. Sorry for everybody that wanted something light and fluffy. We will get there, I promise. But 988 has been updated. It now connects to 211, where there are lots of different resources that don't necessarily have to do with suicide prevention or suicide intervention or even suicidal thoughts, because sometimes those don't ever manifest. But there's that. It does. 211 has a lot of those other kinds of resources, people to help you, counseling, financial counseling, if you've just been out of the military, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of different ones. But then you can also text it now. So if you are one of those people, I know a few people in my life that refuse to call and actually talk to a human face-to-face or over the phone, like that brings you anxiety, you can text. So that was a pretty neat upgrade that they've done recently. So there's no excuse to reach out other than you getting into your own head. My advice is if you recognize that you're isolating, reach out. If you don't, if you're the person that's seeing somebody that's had a change, in behavior, or they're giving you the invitations and the signs to talk to them about it, say the words. You're not putting it in their head. It's either already there or it wasn't there to begin with. You're not going to change their mind of what was in there. The thing you're going to change is their heart saying that there's somebody that cares enough to talk. So be like, really good training, but it was an emotional week for me because of that. So yeah, happy beginning. I'm so sorry.
No. Here's the thing. We're not all, I mean, this show is not entirely like a comedy show. It's not. I mean, when we have serious topics, it's actually good things like this, because you don't know who this is going to touch tonight. Even in this first few minutes, I mean, I promise you, we're going to raise up the stakes of this and be a little bit more cheery. But no, I'm glad that we were able to kind of talk about that, because you never know who it might affect and who it might touch. And I hope that if it does, take it to heart and, you know that, you know, there are people that care and people who want to help you. So no, I will try to turn the tide and tell you the most interesting thing that I read this week. The Oscars is coming up on Sunday, the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences. And so every year, everyone knows that there's always a swag or gift bag that goes out to the Oscar nominees. So Oscar nominees just won't just be walking away with a golden statue if they're lucky. Those nominated in the most prestigious categories will also be gifted a lot of different things here. The Everyone Wins gift package is put together by Distinctive Assets and delivered to nominees in the top acting and directing categories ahead of the ceremony. There are 60 freebies, vouchers, and items in the gift package, including, and this kills you like the rich get richer, there is a three-night stay for 10 people at a chalet in Zermatt, Switzerland, a portable, retractable seat that you can carry around so that your bag or briefcase won't have to touch the floor, a 3D printed full-color selfie figurine in an acrylic display case, a wine fridge that holds 45 bottles of Mexican tequila and Scottish gin, and a mocktail making kit for those abstaining from alcohol, a three-night stay at a St. Barth villa, seats at a show that combines, quote, magic, mind-reading, hypnosis, and comedy, a voucher for micro-needling and skin-tightening procedures, gourmet popcorn and vegan chocolates, a private session with a celebrity sound healer, complimentary project management on a home remodel, a seven-day retreat at a Southern California spa, and a Rubik's Cube. The item.
Why is the Rubik's Cube?
Right.
Like, all those things, they're all stupid, extravagant, and, like, really not fair that, you know, us normies don't get to have that stuff. Because, right. You know, I go to an award show, and I get a plastic badge. But a Rubik's Cube?
Right. I like how they have all of that, and it's like, and a Rubik's Cube.
And we need one more thing. Well, I've got this warehouse full of Rubik's Cubes that nobody knows how to use. Let's put those in there.
Right. The items and experiences, like I said, all tally up to a $180,000 price tag. They say, while this gift bag does, it's always have an impressive six-figure value. That's neither our focus nor goal. Just as any A-list actor doesn't need millions of dollars to walk into a film set, these gifts are given based on the invaluable stardust these nominees can bestow upon a brand. Of course, they can afford to buy these things. They're also in a uniquely favorable marketing position. This is a straightforward win-win transaction. Of course, the 96th Annual Academy Awards takes place on Sunday. Special start time this year. They actually start an hour early, 4 o'clock Pacific time. 7 o'clock Eastern time. So
see, now I thought that was somebody was trying to like punk me when somebody told me it was starting at 4 o'clock. I'm like, you kidding me?
No, hour earlier than what it normally starts. So yes. So no, check where you ever picked that up. But no, that is one of the most interesting things. I'm pretty sure there was a few other things, but we got so much to cover tonight. But yeah, that's the Oscars for you. The almanac for today. Today is March 8th. It is and I know some of these also kind of come across as repeats, because if you were with us last week, I gave you a heads up as to what today will be. But with it being March 8th, it is National Oregon Day. It's National Proofreading Day, which is today. National Peanut Cluster Day. It is also tomorrow. Oh, you know what? That reminded me. There was one extra story. there was a couple of extra stories, which are actually funny, but I'll share those throughout the evening in the potpourri. one that I know is going to drive Mary nuts, and one that actually kind of has a little bit to do with that proofreading. But anyway, tomorrow is National Get Over It Day. So you can tell people tomorrow to get over it. National Meatball Day is tomorrow. National Crab Meat Day. Tomorrow is actually also National Barbie Day. One of the retro moments of the week has to deal with a Barbie commercial that actually is a little bit of the otter type of Barbie commercials. So that's what we call a tease. So that way you want to stick around. Sunday is National I Am Day. Daylight Saving Time, second Sunday in March. That also is Sunday. National Women and Girls HIV AIDS Awareness Day is on Sunday. Actually, today is what? International Women's
Today is International Women's Day. So, sup my girls, my biatches.
We don't have to buy you a gift, do we?
No.
Okay. Just making sure.
Please no. Please no. I take chocolates, flowers, and cash. I'm just throwing that out there. If you can, stay away from baby's breath.
Just making sure. Yes, stay away from that. Oh, good Lord. Make the whole thing.
Don't open the door, man. Don't open the door. All right.
Yeah.
We were on Sunday.
it is also National Pack Your Lunch Day. It is National Blueberry Popover Day. Also, I'm surprised that Mary did not interject and also say what is on Sunday.
Oh, no. I was waiting until you got to Sunday, which is Mario Day.
Yes, Mario Day.
It's March, M-A-R-1-0, Mario.
Yes.
No Luigi, though. No Luigi, sorry. Just Mario.
Mario Day, which is Sunday. Yeah, say it like that.
It's Mario. It's me, Mario.
It's a Mario Day.
I was trying to be nice.
No, I know you were getting excited. I know we talk about it every year.
I was waiting for you to forget, too, also. I was like, wait, no.
I was going to bypass it and see if you caught it.
I would have.
Yeah. And then Monday is National 311 Day. And then it is National Funeral Director and Mortician Recognition Day. On March 11th. March 11th, if you have a high schooler, you should know what this is. It is National Promposal Day. Everyone snatched up the dates on March 11th. And it is National Oatmeal Nut Waffles Day. National Worship of Tools Day. It's National Johnny Appleseed Day. And the day after the return of daylight saving time is National Napping Day. Hopefully you can get yourself a nice nap in between on Monday. And then March 12th, which brings us to Tuesday, is National Working Moms Day. So happy National Working Moms Day to you.
Thank you.
National Bake Scallops Day is that day. It's National Plant a Flower Day. National Girl Scout Day. And then on Wednesday, it brings us National Jewel Day. It is National Canine Veterans Day. National Coconut Tort Day. National Good Samaritan Day. National Open an Umbrella Indoors Day. It is.
Does anybody know about that superstition anymore, or is that just a, you know, kind of us thing?
I don't think they do. I don't really think they do. That's a good question. Okay. I don't know. We'll have to post that question out to our friends out there if you still kind of know about that. March 13th also is National Earmuff Day. That could mean a lot of things, dirty and clean. the second Wednesday in March is also National Registered Dietitian Nutritionist Day. And then March 14th is National Write Down Your Story Day, National Equal Pay Day, National Children's Craft Day, National Learn About Butterflies Day. Do you also know what March 14th is?
It's Pi Day.
Yes. National Pie Day is also on the 14th, as well as National Potato Chip Day. And then next Friday, the 15th, brings us National Kansas Day, Everything You Think Is Wrong Day, National Pears Helene Day, National Shoe the World Day. Yeah. And those are the days coming up.
Everything you think is wrong day. That's a standard statement in my house. Everything you think is wrong.
But if you think and therefore you are, does that mean
I ask you? No, I ask you, if you think not, are you not? I think not. Don't you think?
Am I?
Which day was that? That's tomorrow. Am I day?
Am I? Actually, we just decided probably our own Dr. Seuss book.
You're welcome.
Copyright. Copywritten. So, yes. But, yes, that's the almanac tonight. Also, I said I had some most interesting things that I've read. Before I forget, I'm going to leave one for the potpourri, but this one I became aware of because this just happened. And this is for the good folks at Merriam-Webster from NPR. Oh, this drives. I was listening to this on the radio today, and the person involved who is a person who watches proper English, it drove them nuts. Because the good folks at Merriam-Webster now say that you can end a sentence with a preposition. And the internet is going insane over this.
I would be.
An authority on the English language has set us free from the tethers of what many have long regarded as a grammatical no-no, or has it? The answer depends on how you side with a declaration from Merriam-Webster. According to the dictionary publisher in a post shared on Instagram last week, they said, it is permissible in English for a preposition to be what you end a sentence with. The idea that it should be avoided came from writers who were trying to align the language with Latin, but there's no reason to suggest ending a sentence with a preposition is wrong. Merriam-Webster had touched on a stubborn taboo, the practice of ending sentences with prepositions such as to, with, about, upon, for, or of, that was drilled into many of us in grade school. The post ignited an emphatic debate in the comments section. Many were adamant that a concluding preposition is lazy, or just sounded plain weird. Maybe so, but it doesn't sound expressive, and at times sounds like someone isn't intelligent enough to articulate themselves, one user replied to Merriam-Webster. Others heartily welcomed the permission granted. Thank you. How many times have I made an awkward sentence to avoid a preposition at the end, another person wrote. The emotionally charged response to the post didn't surprise Ellen Joven, who travels the country with her, quote, grammar table, fielding questions about Oxford commas, apostrophes, and other hot-button linguistic topics. She says, I spent a lot of time dealing with the concluding preposition opposition party. I know that any day that I want to start a fight, all I have to do is say something about this in public. Now, she sees a concluding preposition opponents as operatives of a sort of sunk cost fallacy. People have invested a lot of time in finding ways to not end clauses and sentences with prepositions. So when someone comes along and tells you that there's no such rule, it's human nature to cling tighter to something that costs so much time and energy. And among grammarians and lexicographers, I hope I pronounced that correct, Merriam-Webster's comments are widely accepted. They say it's true that in Romance languages, because they derive from Latin. A structurally sound sentence can't be made with a preposition placed at the end, but English is not a Romance language. The FAQ section of the entry for prepositions, Merriam-Webster states that the people who claim that a terminal preposition is wrong are clinging to an idea born in the 17th century and largely abandoned by grammar and usage experts in the early 20th. It's not the first time that Merriam-Webster has tried to end the prohibition.
Okay, that one doesn't drive me up the wall as much as some other words do. So, I mean, I'll accept it. I have been known to end sentences with a preposition of sorts. So, yeah. At least in speech, for sure. Like, in my speaking, like, when I speak, I'm trying to, now I can't even think, because I'm trying to listen to my own grammar. When I speak, I have been known to end sentences with a proposition. Preposition. Oh, my gosh, take this away from me.
We can't see what you have, so we can't take it away.
Oh, God. Get me off this microphone.
We'll just chalk it up to alcohol that people can't see you drinking.
Yeah, water-ish.
Fuck. That is the whole history behind that. So, good luck with that all. Hopefully you will all be okay. But the big story coming out of this week, besides the Facebook, by the way, so earlier this week, Facebook and Instagram had a little bit of an issue. And I remember, tell you, it started for me around like 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. And I got kicked out of Facebook, which I was like, that never happens. And it said, you got to log back in. And when I logged back in, it went in and then it kicked me back out. And I was like, did I get hacked? And here's the sad thing to this. I wound up going over to X or Twitter to see about
it. For your news. Yeah.
For my news. And sure enough, there it was. And everybody else was saying the same thing. And that was how I knew that something was amiss. But you had so many people who were acting like they couldn't function for the hour and some odd minutes that Facebook and Instagram were down. Is it that bad?
It's Facebook. Like Instagram, maybe a little bit, but it's freaking Facebook, people. I am one of those weirdos that does not have a Facebook page. You can shock and all. There we go. But yeah, I'm one of those weirdos, and I haven't had it since August of 2020. Actually, no, I take that back. August of 2021, and I have not looked back.
Baby, come back.
I would not, under normal circumstances, I'd be like, yeah, I understand, but yeah, it's Facebook. It's Facebook. That's where old people hang out. So it was the Instagram part that they were having problems with.
Right. Well, that is, it was down for a little bit. And it just amazed me that people couldn't seem to function. So I think people know how to hit us where we live, because if those go down, no one will know what to do.
I know. How will people actually, again, we go back to speaking to somebody like face to face. What are you, a heathen?
Next, you know, it'll be ending sentences with a preposition.
Oh, no. What is the world coming to?
Speaking of what the world's coming to, viral social media posts has reignited a debate about the prices of one of America's top burger chains. On March 1st, an ex-user, image of a receipt from Five Guys that quickly went viral on the platform, garnering nearly 25 million views, and it started another heated discussion about recent fast food prices. The post, in which it said Five Guy prices are out of control, $24 for one person, showed the receipt. The person ordered, well, I'll get back to that in a second, but for the receipt, the customer spent $12.49 for a bacon cheeseburger with ketchup and mustard, $2.89 for a regular soda, and $5.19 for a small fry. After tax and tip, the total came to $24.10. Says, guess I was expecting about $12 to $15 per person for Five Guys. $22 without tip just seems to cross the line, the user added in a follow-up post. What is the right amount these days? Five Guys did not immediately respond, but the post has garnered quite a response, more than 12,000 commenters weighing in with conflicting opinions. One saying fast food becoming a luxury meal is a sign of the times. Another one said, ha, this will be cheap in California. And they're right, a bacon cheeseburger from a Five Guys in Culver City, California, will currently set customers back at $14.39. That's not even factoring in how one person said how overrated they are. $10 should be able to get you a premium burger for a higher-end place, drinking fries plus five. And then it says, what are things like back in 1990 where you apparently currently live? But most of the discussion of Five Guys prices is happening on Reddit. There, users are expressing shock, surprise, disappointment, and infuriation about the topic. In fact, the subreddit titled Mildly Infuriating, where users post the issues that caused them like distress, is speckled with complaints about the chain's prices. One user even went so far as to document the rising cost of a cheeseburger with ketchup at their local Five Guys in Ann Arbor, Michigan, over the course of the year. According to the post, the cost of customers' go-to meal rose from $7.79 on February 25th, 2021, to $10.79 a year later. Now, there are a few theories as to why Five Guys cost a bit more to competition. Some say in addition to using fresh, never-frozen ingredients, the chain offers mini burger toppings at no additional cost, bigger portions, and more. The fries are fried in peanut oil, which is more costly than other oils, too. Of course, Five Guys isn't the only chain facing criticism. Rising prices at chains like McDonald's and Five Guys have caused customers to reconsider eating out at all, with the former saying that it plans on focusing on an affordable pricing in the future. Plus, beef inflation caused the average price of a burger to rise to nearly $16 in 2023. According to MoneyGeek, a burger, fries, and soda at McDonald's cost around $6.19, up 11.5% from 2021 to 2022. Well, the same order at Five Guys cost $19.95 on average, which is up 13.5%. Your thoughts?
it's an argument to be made to become vegetarian because I don't see lettuce shortages anytime soon. But then again, there was that tomato thing that happened a few years ago. So just stop eating, everyone. We'll be fine.
It costs money to be vegan too.
Oh yeah. No. I am joking. This is all about. I was trying to fun at it, but it's insane. And this $6. I want to know which McDonald's is $6 to get a burger. Is it just a regular hamburger, or are we talking like an actual premium burger? Because it is not a $6 meal. I just went to McDonald's today, got two double cheeseburgers and a shamrock shake, and spent $12. Like, no. By the way, shamrock shakes, I don't care. I'd still end up paying for those because those only come around once a year.
But they never have the shamrock and the McRib at the same time.
Oh, that would just blow up the entire world. Like, that would be a bad thing. Something
they never
would happen.
The same room at the same time.
Right. It's like Batman. I'm not saying that I'm Batman, but when have you ever seen Batman and me in the same room?
I'm surprised that they had a shake machine that actually worked to make the shamrock shake.
Oh, I use the app.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Use the app.
Oh, man. That's You know, there. I remember when that guy came out with the app to figure out which McDonald's had working shake machines, which is pretty much the best idea of all time. So
it really is. It works out. So it works really great, surprisingly. So if you get a chance, download it. It does work.
Yes. Oh, wow. So, yes. Yeah, so ahead of the program, retro moment of the week. You might even have a bonus one tonight. There, on the other side, we've got more stories as it is potpourri night here. I did promise you an odd – well, actually, it's two odd stories. I always look for the I think you learn a lot, hopefully, from this program when you do. For those of you on the other side of the globe who probably don't follow Major League Baseball, Major League Baseball is already in spring training. The season starts early this year, I think March 31st, somewhere right before April. So, you know, you're used to the
Easter Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, so you're usually used to the season starting around that time. But from the AL Files tonight, there were actually two odd baseball stories that happened in the month of March. The anniversary's just passed, and one was from March 1st of 1987. This involves a Houston Astros pitcher by the name of Charlie Kerfield. And on that date, he and the Astros finally agreed on a one-year contract at that time. And you think back at $87 of how things changed, but was happy that he finally got a contract from them for $110,000. But it was $110,037.37. They also threw in 37 boxes of orange Jell-O, which was planned for use in future pranks. The Houston reliever, who wore the number 37, insisted that he earned more than the right-hander Jim Deshays, and the reliever's new deal paid him $37.37 more than his teammate, which is why the contract came out to that amount. No word on what he ever did with the 37 boxes of orange Jell-O. And then perhaps the more oddest story is one that was lost to time, and surprisingly no movie was ever made about it. There were talks a few years ago of a movie being made about this, but it kind of went by the wayside. But March 5th, 1973, was perhaps the weirdest and wildest trade in all of sports, and it didn't even involve a major league franchise. It involved two New York Yankees pitchers and teammates. Mike Kekich and Fritz Peterson became the centerpiece of media attention after the two decided to publicly announce that they had swapped wives. Now, both players lived in New Jersey with their families and were good friends. The couple attended a barbecue hosted by Maury Allen, who was a New York Post sports writer, on July 15, 1972. At that time, both couples arrived separately, but on the way out, Peterson's wife, Marilyn, left with Kekich, and Kekich's wife, Suzanne, got in a car with Peterson. Now, both couples met at a dinner party after the party before heading home. They had so much fun that they decided to do it again the next evening. Eventually, Peterson fell for Kekich's wife, and Fritz fell for Kekich's. And the couples were having so much fun with their newfound arrangements that they decided to make it permanent, thus officially swapping wives ahead of the 1973 campaign. To make the story even more bizarre, it was the men who would change addresses, therefore not only swapping wives, but also houses, children, and even family dogs. According to New York Magazine, Mike Kekich was quoted as saying, "Don't say this was wife swapping because it wasn't. We didn't swap wives. We swapped lives." And those are the two oddest MLB stories from the month of March in the AL Files.
Oh, my God. Wife swap, well, lives swapping in the 70s.
Yes. A whole family. Got a house that was like, hey, you're going to do husband, do everything. I don't even know if that's legal. I don't even know how you do that. Yes.
You'd have to get a divorce and then get remarried, but still.
But supposedly, there was supposed to be a movie with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon years ago, and it kind of like went off by the wayside. They never did it. So
I'm stuck on the, like, I don't know that I'd want to hang out with, cover ears, earmuffs, whatever, young children. I don't know that I would want to have marital relations in the bedroom with my best friend's ex husband.
That,
I don't know. Yeah,
some people have done it. Just not
some people are just, yeah, I guess some people are a lot more open than I am.
I mean, heck, you hear about siblings who have dated a sibling's ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend, you know, as the case may be. That happens as
You're
well.
A twin. Did that happen to you ever?
Hell no.
That was great. All right. Cool.
No. So, didn't happen. But it has happened, and I have seen stories about that. So, yeah. But that's the L-Files. But coming up next, Retro Moment of the Week. We have something in time for International Women's Day. If you recall, well, you'll hear the commercial. And then, because it's Barbie Day, a retro Barbie commercial, which goes from nice and sweet to kind of a little strange. I'll let you be the judge. You're listening to Page One with LeVar and Mary on this Friday night, March 8th. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be right back right after this.
Wake up and shout hooray when you start out the day. To be a woman now is such a kick and how. You got a friend along the way of being a woman. Have a great, great woman's day.
This month in Woman's Day, enjoy 18 mouth-watering pasta recipes from James Beard's new cookbook. Plus free ready-to-mail Valentine postcards for the ones you love.
You've got a friend along the way. I've been a woman. Have a great, great woman's day.
One evening in Barbie's dream house. Surprise! It's Midge, Mattel's marvelous new teenage doll. Midge is Barbie's best friend and is thrilled with Barbie's career as a teenage model. She loves trying on Barbie's exciting new fashions, for you see, Midge and Barbie are the same size, so all of Barbie's beautifully tailored clothes fit both of them. Barbie has introduced Midge to her boyfriend, Ken, and the three of them go everywhere together. They sunbathe at the beach and play tennis at school. Midge is even in some of Barbie's classes. And one night, Midge is the guest of honor at a masked ball given by Barbie and Ken. You Barbie fans will adore Midge, and you'll love mixing and matching costumes to create your own fashion ideas. Get Mattel's new Midge and the genuine Barbie and Ken dolls wherever toys are sold. You can tell they're Mattel. They're swell.
You're listening to Page One.
Page One.
With LeVar and Mary. Your source for all the current topics and news you need to know. Here's LeVar and Mary.
Thanks so much for joining us back on Page One with LeVar and Mary this Friday night, March 8th. I don't know, man. That sounds like a little bit of Hand That Rocks the Cradle type stuff.
Right? There's that. But then also, the other part was, oh, happy Woman's Day. By the way, still cook. Really?
Well, that was the Women's Day magazine commercial for the 1980s, if you remember Women's Day.
But still cook. No. The point is to not cook. It's International Women's Day. Have the guy cook. Thank you.
It's almost as bad as that Maxwell House coffee commercial.
Yeah, right. Go make some coffee, women.
Make some coffee, women. But how freaked out is that? Like, they go sunbathing and play tennis. How can three people play tennis?
Well, you know, they do take out Barbie's boyfriend, Ken. So it's canon, people.
They do everything together.
They do everything. And they're the same size, single white female. That's what's going to happen.
And she's wearing her clothes.
Mitch's going to be taken over, and then Ken's going to come home one day and accidentally kiss the wrong girlfriend. It's going to turn into a mess.
I tell you, man.
Millennials, that is an actual movie. Go and watch it.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. There's so many stories in potpourri tonight. We're going to cut these segments here kind of in half because we're going to get to what's trending. But we'll do at least four, and I'm just going to pick them as I go. So they have no rhyme or no reason. But here's one that kind of ticked me off the other day. It was first shown by TMZ, but out in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Clippers are building their new stadium, which is going to be ready for use for next season. But two teams in Los Angeles apparently care more about social media clout than having a clean record. In a video posted to social media on TikTok, two young men can be seen breaking into the Intuit Dome, which is a future home of the Los Angeles Clippers, which is still under construction at Inglewood. The video posted by the account Shawty_Grandma and later shared elsewhere is more than 90 seconds long and shows the duo using a ladder to gain access to the arena. The teams are then taking a tour of the unfinished grandstands and concourse, shooting hoops at a practice court, and spraying a fire extinguisher at the rim. Finally, the pair is seen ascending to the rafters before getting onto the roof of the arena, which is located south of SoFi Stadium. The teens show their faces throughout the video and even titled the post Sneaking at the Clippers Stadium with hashtags for the Clippers, Lakers, and LeBron James. The mayor of Inglewood, James E. Butts, was not amused by their antics. He says, it will be very clear to these young men and to the people who are TikTok followers that you have a moment of TikTok greatness followed by a little bit of misery, and so we don't play around with these things. We know who the young men are. We've identified them and their parents, and they will be talked to probably tomorrow or the next day. Inglewood police are investigating the incident as well as potential prior break-ins, according to the TV station. Outside of occasional games played at Inglewood, of course, the Clippers have shared the arena with the Lakers ever since they arrived in Los Angeles in the 80s. Construction of the 18,000-seat arena is expected to be completed by August, and Usher is expected to be the first act to perform there in late September. But I watched a video on TMZ, and I don't know if it's not to malign today's you, but some of you out there aren't very bright. Not only did you do breaking and entering, but you fired off the fire extinguisher and don't know if you caused any damages or not, but you recorded off for what? I guess my question with this is that in today's era of everyone being relevant, have we forgotten that there's still rules in place and that doing stuff like that, you know, while it will get you followers, will also get you into trouble?
Yes. Yes, we have. And I'm not saying that I would do anything like this, but yes. Yes, we have. I think because everybody gets to see all the stupid crap that people pull on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and pick a social media outlet and insert here, but nobody really puts down like, okay, so, you know, hey, I'm gonna break into SoFi. They break into SoFi, they post the TikTok, look at us breaking into SoFi. What they don't post is them getting arrested for breaking and entering. What they should be doing, they're not going to do this, of course, because it's clout, but what should be happening, honestly, is that the police should be going back out there afterwards and finding those TikToks and then posting right, like, as a response. And here's them getting arrested and having to deal with 3 to 5. Not, they're getting a talking to. They're getting jail time. Juvenile hall still exists. And I'm old and crotchety, and I'm sorry. But yeah, no, people have lost touch that there are rules and regulations to things. And those are the kids that are going to end up going into the workforce. And then when something doesn't go their way, they're going to post it on TikTok and be like, why didn't anybody like why don't you care about me? I have, 10,000 followers.
Right.
Because I really don't care.
It's like I don't think people are thinking, or they think that they're above the law, too. I mean,
they're above the law because it's for TikTok content. I'm a content creator. It's for content. So there's no law being broken for content, right?
There will be. Now there will be. And there should be. If I'm the owner of the Clippers, I would say, hey, man, charge it to the fullest extent of the law because it's breaking and entering. And they were in there and possibly caused damage. And I'd look for any little thing that was wrong, and I would charge them and their parents.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like people nowadays, for the sake of being, quote, entertaining, think that they're above still not being or following rules or being above things. And it's I don't get it. Like, you see a lot more of these, YouTube videos and other stuff more than I will. And, it just, to me, I really, like, some people now are, quote, just putting stuff out there and calling it entertainment, and it's not. And I think that's the one thing about it, why I love videos as much as the next guy. It's kind of like me, like, I am a big baseball card collector. Did it for many years, and now everybody has a video about opening up boxes of cards or whatever, and now it's kind of extended out to Pokemon cards and other cards. I'm like, I don't know what you just pulled, so I don't know why you're yelling. And it's the same type of video where somebody, and I was like, are you just like fading now, like a fake exuberance, or other people who do other videos and like, I'm going to jump off this this long ledge and hope they don't break my leg. And then if they break their leg or get seriously injured, was it really worth it? Maybe I'm, call me old, but I don't get it. But for those of you who think that they shouldn't be charged with anything, it's called breaking and entering. If I just, for the sake of putting on a YouTube or TikTok video, said, hey, I'm going to break into your house and eat your food and pour syrup over your dishes and counter, it's the equivalent of that. You're going to be mad. So, yeah.
I don't know. I agree 100%. So I don't, do what you got to do kind of thing. It's not right. It's not right. And people need to,
I didn't get a chance to share this story with you, but this one came from TMZ this week, who first reported it. And this was about an Oklahoma high school fundraiser. And I don't even know what to think about this one. And there was apparently an update to this story that's happened in the last 24 hours. But anyway, so it involves Deer Creek High School in Oklahoma, in Edmond, I'll kind of start back and kind of bring you up to date now. There was an Oklahoma high school which came under fire for a fundraiser that had students licking their peers' toes. Apparently, they weren't alone, as videos of another high school doing the same thing have now surfaced. New clips have started to make the rounds online. It shows students from a neighboring high school right down the street at Edmondorf High that show their own pupils using their mouths to slurp up peanut butter off the feet of others, with videos going back to 2015. Not just this, but as it turns out, those videos show students licking up armpits as well. These videos suggest Deer Creek High, the original school that was revealed to have done this, wasn't the only educational institution in town that was partaking in the bizarre activity. Folks who've been following the story continue to be up in arms over the situation, labeling the whole thing disgusting and going well beyond inappropriate. Now, Deer Creek High previously denied any wrongdoing, saying in a statement that students volunteered to do this activity and insisting no faculty members were involved. The licking stunt has proven to be an effective fundraising tool, as the school claims to have raised more than $150,000 for a local charity when they did this. The Oklahoma State Superintendent, who has launched an investigation while vowing to clean up the filth in Oklahoma schools, sounds like he may need to take the rounds and talk to all the schools in his area.
No free feet. Ew. Ew, ew, ew. Just ew. Ew.
I was shocked when I saw the original story on this, and now to see the update, that wasn't the only... How do you allow that to happen, though?
I don't know. That's gross. It's gross.
I'm not sure if that's an Oklahoma thing. That certainly would not have happened here.
I hope not, anyway. I'm glad it didn't happen at my school.
And even then, you don't think that some adult would probably say, hey, you know what? That's probably not going to come off right. Just saying. I don't understand. Going on to food here. Hidden Valley Ranch. This is kind of a yay or nay question. But Hidden Valley Ranch has announced a slew of new flavors, including a new cheesy option in partnership with Cheesy Ranch. A collaboration between Hidden Valley and Cheez-It was announced Wednesday just in time for National Ranch Day on Sunday. Cheesy Ranch is made with 100% real cheese and the zesty flavor of ranch and delivers a rich and savory flavor experience. Hidden Valley Ranch and Cheez-It fans share the same obsession with our delicious food, so bringing them together made perfect sense, according to the senior brand director for Cheez-It. For the first time ever, fans can drizzle the cheesy deliciousness they know and love on just about anything. The new condiment will be available at Walmart and Kroger grocery stores nationwide for $5.99. The product will hit Walmart shelves in late March and Kroger stores in April. In addition to Cheesy Ranch, Hidden Valley has also announced that 6 new flavors will be available to consumers this spring. A spicy trio bundle will be available exclusively at Walmart. The new flavors are Garlic Ranch, which is the ultimate condiment for pizza dipping, Nashville Hot, the spicy sauce that's been missing on fried chicken sandwiches, Creamy Jalapeno, perfect for drizzling or dipping nachos and tacos, Spicy Hot Honey, a sweet and spicy sidekick for pizza and fried chicken, Green Goddess, which is a creamy, herby deliciousness for salads and grain bowls, and Parmesan Ranch, which is a tangy twist for a classic Caesar salad. The exact dates were not announced. By the way, yeah, I can see the look on your face. Whose idea was Spicy Hot Honey?
No, I have not. What?
I think it's Pizza Hut that's actually doing that.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, I'm down with some Hidden Valley Ranch, like, combos. I'm not opposed to some of them. Some of them are a little weird sounding. But some of them sound interesting and saves me time.
A cheesy one, I think, is kind of taking it a little too far. I'm not sure I could do cheesy.
The Parmesan one, Caesar salad, I like creamy Parmesan, like Caesar dressing. So mm-hmm. I'd be willing, and the Garlic Ranch as well, I would be willing to try those. Definitely, because those are something that, like, I already mix. Does that make sense? So,
right.
But some of it's like, meh.
It makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
I'm not a fan of nachos with ranch, so I'm not probably going to be doing any jalapenos ones.
Right. Oh, man. Well, are you looking for a new job?
Yes, Oh, sorry. Dang it. Sorry, Mike. I was kidding.
I'm not getting you in trouble. Well, if you are,
somebody's offering me a lot of money.
Right. NASA is accepting applications for astronauts. On Tuesday, the agency congratulated its most recent class of Artemis astronauts who graduated in the ceremony at NASA Johnson Space Center in Houston. The ceremony was followed up by an announcement that is accepting applications for the public to be a part of the next graduating class. It says, congratulations to the newest class of NASA astronauts. We are excited to have a new and diverse set of explorers ready to expand humanity's reach. Astronauts are pioneers who will help us embark on this new era of exploration And we need more adventurers ready to join the ranks to explore the cosmos, including future missions to the moon, on to Mars, and beyond. When NASA last accepted applications for astronauts in 2020, more than 12,000 people applied. Only 10 were accepted, representing the recent class that graduated this month. Now, while it may be the dream of many to be a space explorer, there are a few qualifications you'll have to meet before being considered. Here's what's needed in the application process. You must pass a drug test. You must pass a background test, medical and a psychiatric examination, and a fitness test. You don't know that. And fitness testing, including the agency physical fitness test. Oh, and don't forget, leadership, teamwork, and communications are a must. The education requirements to be an astronaut, you must have a master's degree, PhD, or foreign equivalent, and a STEM field like engineering, biological science, physical science, computer science, or mathematics from an accredited college, and complete a test pilot school program that is nationally or internationally recognized by June of 2025. Now, NASA's Astronaut Selection Board reviews the application and assesses each candidate's qualification. The board then invites a small group of the most highly qualified candidates for interviews at NASA's Johnson Space Center. Of those interviewed, about half are invited back for second interviews. And candidates who meet the basic requirements have until April 2nd to apply. They'll then undergo intensive training for 2 years in which they will learn basic astronaut skills like spacewalking, robotics, and flying T-38 jet planes. And how much do astronauts get paid, you ask? Astronauts who get the job can expect an annual salary of $152,258 per year. The application process is open from March 5th through April 2nd.
Yeah, but you have to have a PhD and or a master's, although more people have master's degrees nowadays than they used to. But the psychiatric exam. I'm already out. And I can't be an astronaut.
Oh, well. We tried. I tried to help you all out. So, unfortunately, if you have those things, though, you're in luck. Make sure that you go ahead and you sign up for that. So, yeah. When I was young, I wanted to do, a lot of those kids' shows where the prize used to be Space Camp.
Do they still have Space Camp?
I don't know.
They need to bring it back if they don't.
I think they should. I think that would be pretty cool. But I always want to do Space Camp. So I don't know if that still exists, but hey, who knows? So,
speaking of, we totally forgot this, but in the UK it is Mother's Day tomorrow, today. Sunday.
So it'll be tomorrow for there, but it would be 2 days from now for us.
No, I think it's today for them, tomorrow for us.
What?
It's Sunday.
It would be tomorrow.
I'm all confused. Yeah.
It would be tomorrow.
It's Sunday.
Evening
in the UK
at
is Mother's Day.
Well, to all you mothers in the UK, happy Mother's Day. to all you fathers and mothers, happy Mother's Day to all of you in the UK sometime in the next 2 days. Because we lost track of time. So we're either early or we're just about going to make it.
And in either case, we made it.
Congratulations. Before we go any further, I want to take a look at what's trending. One of the things that's trending is a story that kind of broke late last night into today. Has the world of anime in mourning with the death of Akira Toriyama, who was the creator of Dragon Ball Z. That story is still trending. I'll let you. You are more of the anime person than I am, so you could probably explain the impact of why that is.
it's one of the anybody that's into anime has watched either Dragon Ball Z or they've been touched by it. So it's a major show in anime. It's a major manga. The creator of that, he was younger too, if I remember correctly. He was only in his 60s? Question mark. I'd have to look.
64 is what I saw.
Yeah, and it's sad. He had a lot of influence over art style, how people drew things, how people told stories, tropes that were used. He just had a lot of influence over the anime world. So it is very sad to hear that he has passed. So my condolences to his family. Hearts and prayers.
All right. So that's still heavily trending. And then also trending tonight, SmackDown. We are in WrestleMania season. We're a few weeks away. Quite an interesting SmackDown ending tonight. If you had a chance to see it. Also trending tonight, Scott Foster, the NBA referee, and I'm trying to figure out why.
Why? Yeah, I was just going to ask that. Why is he trending?
I'm guessing something happened in the game tonight. It has something to do with Rudy Gobert and Scott Foster in the Minnesota-Cleveland game, where he said something to him in regards to something that he kind of did. And I'm going to hopefully try and find that out for you, but you can go online and pretty much see it for yourself. I guess Rudy kind of called him out on something that was talking about maybe getting investigated and giving a technical out for making, and he did the money gesture, which kind of, I have a feeling Rudy's probably going to get a fine for the NBA for that one. I'm watching the replay now. So that was one of the reasons. Arnold Palmer is trending, the golfer. And why they were talking about it. They were talking about the drink, which was trending, because someone had a lemonade and iced tea mix, and someone says, what do you call it in your city? And they said that they were from Jersey, and it's called an Uptown, which, no, it's called an Arnold Palmer. We all know about that.
You can call it Blue's Clues if you want to. It's an Arnold Palmer.
Yes. If you go to restaurants and ask for an Arnold Palmer, they know what it is. I know what an Uptown is.
Right?
So, no. You get
Jersey,
out of here,
man. They just want to be difficult.
Right. No, as always. So, those are some of the things that are trending on this Friday night, if you were watching. Also in the news, this kind of leads to it. Vegas has been in the news quite a bit lately. one of the reasons that they have been, I'm going to get to the other story that Mary is starting to chuckle about here in just a second, because that one was just all out weird. But there was another story that happened in Vegas this week. The Bellagio on the Las Vegas Strip said Tuesday that its famous fountains had paused after one of the rarest birds in America landed in the water. In a post on X, Bellagio welcomed one of its most exclusive guests, a yellow-billed loon, to the strip property, saying that it was working with state wildlife officials to rescue the bird. The yellow-billed loon, an international species of concern, is considered to be one of the 10 rarest birds that regularly breed in the U.S., according to the National Park Service. Yellow-billed loons raise their young in northern Alaska each year. Recently, scientists with the Bureau of Land Management, National Park Service, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service started monitoring the breeding population of the birds across northern Alaska to document population trends and to investigate factors affecting breeding. This year, the species will be considered for listing under the Endangered Species Act, according to NPS. The Bellagio has not yet announced whether the loon had been relocated as of a few days ago, but they actually stopped the fountains there at the Bellagio.
And we both have been to the fountains. I've been a few times. Those are not easy to stop. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not it's all electronic, so that it's computer, you know, it's computer controlled, but it's not like you can go, okay, water, you're not going to flow anymore.
And then, oh, there was one other one, too, before I get to the other story. It's three for the price of one night from Vegas. A Las Vegas gambler not only won once, but they won twice in the same night. The player who was not named was playing slots at Caesars on Saturday night, March 2nd, and hit a $165,000 jackpot around 5 p.m. Less than 5 hours later, the same player won a jackpot of $545,000 at another slot machine. According to Caesars, the total win for the player was $710,000.
That's a hell of a, you know, his W. His W-9, whatever he has to collect
W-9,
for taxes. Yeah,
yeah,
that's going to be rough. That's rough, buddy.
But then we go to a person that was not so lucky. A California man staying at a Las Vegas strip resort over the holiday season is considering after he said his testicles were stung by a scorpion while he was asleep. Michael Farchi of Agora Hills said he woke up in excruciating pain during his stay at the resort. He says, "I just felt like somebody stabbing me in my private area. It felt like a sharp glass or a knife." Upon investigation, he said he found the source of the pain. "I went to the restroom and I saw a scorpion hanging on my underwear." This happened on December 26th. Afterward, the man and his family checked out early. One day earlier, December 27th, the hotel compensated him for his room. Farchi and his attorney shared photos of the orange scorpion on his underwear. When asked if he knew how the scorpion got to his hotel room, the California man said he didn't. "I didn't even ask how it got in the room," Farchi said. "It was just under my cover." A report filed with the strip property, the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas, detailed the incident, saying that he had been, quote, "bitten by a scorpion on my groin / testicles around 8 a.m. The report indicated that Farchi told staff that he was in, quote, "a lot of pain," and blamed the Venetian for the incident, adding that the scorpion, quote, "was in the bed when he was sleeping." He said that he was diagnosed with a scorpion sting area hospital after the incident. "Everybody was in shock. Nobody believed," Farchi said. "Even I couldn't believe it." The incident number from the resort marked the event, adding that he was considering legal action. Attorney Brian Vereng said that the scorpion sting has been a source of trauma for his client, while Vereng said that he's confident that the resort has policies and procedures in place to avoid situations like the one Farchi found himself in. "It's another thing the attorney posted to ensure that the procedures are followed." For their part, officials for the Venetian responded to a request for comment Monday by saying that, quote, "the resort has protocols for all incidents, and we can confirm they will follow up in this incident. It's a good idea to always inspect the hotel room and its surrounding areas upon checking in."
So, in other words, we did our job. You were supposed to do yours.
Pretty much.
Okay. So, the Venetian. Like, I don't...
I mean, that's not like a low-end hotel either. The Venetian's
no,
a pretty high...
No. And that's the thing I was talking to somebody about. I'm just like... How? It's not like it's under construction. It's although the area is, so it's quite a possibility, and that's why the scorpion got in there. But still, it's like, come on. Oh, my gosh. And, yeah, we copped your stay, so that's okay. No, I got bit in the privates. Although he's from California, so he kind of deserves it, but it just still. It's so wrong and it's so funny. I'm sorry guys. I'm so sorry, but now he's walking funny for a while. It's kind of fun. Anyway.
Yeah. So it's sorry, man. It's that type of night for these type of stories. But anyway. But does that get even better? Well, no. I will tell you, there's plans afoot if you are a fan of Applebee's and IHOP. Applebee's and IHOP two of America's most iconic chain eateries, are set to combine forces, literally. The parent company of IHOP and Applebee's has announced it's began operating dual-branded locations, combining back-of-the-house cooking areas and blending front-of-the-house dining areas with discreet entrances. On parent Dine Brands Global's most recent earnings call, CEO John Preston said the company had already rolled out 8 prototypes of the concept at select international locations, the most recent one opening in León, Mexico, about 4 hours northwest of Mexico City. The idea is to reduce costs while maximizing revenues by attracting customers dining at different parts of the day to the same location. At breakfast, when there are more IHOP customers, customers can be seated in the Applebee's area and vice versa at dinner. Peyton said the plan would be to eventually bring the concept of the U.S. to the U.S. without specifying a timetable. As for IHOP, they see the brand as a market leader with a track record of growth, noting that 46 new U.S. locations opened last year.
And then you've got Crapplebee's.
You hate Applebee's?
I dislike Applebee's. I just like the fact I don't. It's not my go-to. I'm not going to be going to Applebee's like doing the split and the shake with two straws. I got you. Song reference, if you don't know. Date night at Applebee's. It's not high on my list. I'm not going to say no if somebody's like, I want to go to Applebee's. I'm not going to say no. But I'm also not going to go, hey, anybody will know where they want to go. And I'm not, the first thing out of my mouth is not going to say Applebee's. So I'm kind of indifferent. But then Crapplebee's sounds fun.
All right. It's two different things, man. I don't know. That's too different. Like, it would be different if you were doing, like, I guess, though, if you're going to do something different like that, you can add IHOP and Applebee's, but I guess if people want
that. I mean, they already have, like, KFC and Taco Bell or whatever.
See, you could do stuff with that. I guess with Applebee's, if you want some chicken.
I want Applebee's shake night, whatever, on a waffle.
Yeah.
Or on a pancake, on a Dr. Seuss pancake. I don't know what they have anymore, but there you go.
So either or you can get Rudy Tootie, whatever that is, and get something for the Applebee's.
Rudy split decision, yeah.
Yeah.
Applebee's chicken fingers with chicken, and then you can have your IHOP pancakes instead of waffles. Chicken, IHOP chicken, or Crapplebee's chicken and IHOP waffles. There you go.
Hey, have you been drinking before and after, if you've ever had COVID? Have you ever been drinking before or after? It says if your hangover is suddenly worse, researchers think that COVID could be the cause. You might have COVID-19 to blame if you can't handle your booze like you used to. According to researchers at Stanford University, an article recently published by specialists by Stanford's Post-Acute COVID-19 Syndrome Clinic presented evidence of a possible relationship between SARS-CoV-2 infection and increased alcohol sensitivity. Specifically, a number of patients at Stanford's clinic reported feeling significantly worse symptoms of fatigue, headaches, and hangovers after drinking, with one woman claiming that she couldn't move after a glass of wine. The authors were quick to note that no definitive link between COVID and alcohol sensitivity can be established without further study, but such a relationship wouldn't be unheard of, according to the researchers. There have been repeated cases already of how prevalent that it is in patients with chronic fatigue. And patients with chronic fatigue or myalgic, encephalomyelitis, chronic fatigue syndrome, often experience similar symptoms to those experiencing the effects of long COVID. Increased sensitivity to alcohol has been observed in patients with ME/CFS, at least anecdotally, since the mid-19th century, UK researchers wrote in a 2004 article. So if you had it and now that you've gone back out and you have a sensitivity to drinking, it could be linked to that.
No, my sensitivity to drinking is the fact that I'm Asian and old. Let's go with both of those. Let's call it spade a spade, okay?
I will say that.
Let's call a spade a spade. I am old and Asian. I get the glow. And I can't handle my alcohol. That's why I have other people that drink for me. And I make fun of them. It'll be fine.
And this is something almost kind of from the After Dark Files. But anyway, not everyone is looking for a cuddle buddy during the colder months. Some people are opting for the opposite in a new anti-cuffing season dating trend. It's called snowstorming, which involves ending your relationship in favor of a fresh start in the new year. Snowstormers tend to up and leave their long-term relationship, even when it might appear that there is not an obvious reason, according to a dating and relationship coach, Kate Mansfield. In some circumstances, it's because the relationship is toxic, but in other cases, people may have felt pressured to stay in dissatisfying relationships, especially during a season characterized by loneliness. That's why snowstorming offers some people the opportunity to rejuvenate their romance while encouraging them to, quote, refine their standards and become firmer about what they will not put up with. So, yes.
I call that breaking up. Forget snowstorm. Why do you have to have a nickname for it? I don't like you. I'm breaking up with you. It's not me, it's you. I mean, it's not you, it's me. No, I usually say it's them, but that's beside the point.
And then I was going to ask you, were you going to, or did you have any plans soon to maybe travel?
Uh-huh. Yes. Question mark? Should I cancel these plans?
Well, a Pittsburgh bowling alley is letting it all hang out with a special Bowling in the Buff event next month that organizers promise will, quote, be an unforgettable night hosted by Pittsburgh area naturalists. The Balls Out Bowling event is a regular gig at Kraft and Ingram Lanes. This event has been at the facility twice a year for about the last 3 years, according to a spokesperson for the bowling alley. The area naturalists run the private event that rents out the facility there at the Kraft and Lanes. The event will be happening in April, on April 28th.
Okay, so my May trip, I'm sorry, honey, but, you know, you can come with me? I'm going to have to cancel. I think I'm going to switch my plans.
Yeah, so, a little bit of nude bowling, if you haven't had a chance to do that.
Hey, can't be any worse than my regular bowling. It would be more fun to watch. So there you go.
Yeah.
I'm a bad bowler, so that's okay.
Don't think anybody's going to really care how bad of a bowler you are. If you
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But you won.
You win. I got zero. I got zero after 10 frames. I know. It's okay.
We're all winners.
I got him, folks. I got him. Got to take a drink of water.
Yeah, and while I do that, I'm going to play a retro on this Women's Day, a retro PSA with a superhero. We've heard this one here before, but for you fans of the campy 1960s Batman, we'll play it again here on this Women's Day. And then when we return, I've got a top five Oscars list in honor of this Sunday. And then we'll have a little bit of Smoking Gun Files, which I think you're going to love tonight out of any night.
So, I'm excited.
Yeah. And so we'll be right back after this PSA.
A ticking bomb means trouble for Batman and Robin.
Holy, breaking and entering. It's Batgirl.
Quick, Batgirl. Untie us before it's too late.
It's already too late. I've worked for you a long time, and I'm paid less than Robin. Same job, same employer means equal pay for men and women.
No time for jokes, Batgirl.
It's no joke. It's the federal equal pay law.
Holy act of Congress!
If you're not getting equal pay, contact the Wage and Hour Division, U.S. Department of Labor.
And then the bomb went off.
What was the number? I need the number. I'm not getting paid equal.
So, yes. But, so, Oscars on Sunday, as we've kind of mentioned here, you could go back through the annals of Oscar history, and there are a lot of wins in hindsight from any category in which you look back years later and you'll be like, how the heck did that happen? Or why did it happen? And it shouldn't have happened after you had a chance to think about it. So with so many different categories, I'm just going by Best Picture. Because I have a very odd feeling that Oppenheimer will walk away with the Best Picture at this year's Oscars. I think my prediction back in December was that Billie Eilish was going to win another Oscar for her song from the Barbie movie, making her a back-to-back winner because she won last year. I think she will win again this year. The acting categories, I'm going to tell you this. I think by the time all is said and done, I will probably say that the ones who have probably been winning so far through the different award shows is probably what you're going to see. I think that, like I said, Oppenheimer is probably going to get Best Picture. I think that Cillian Murphy will probably get Best Actor for Oppenheimer. Best Supporting Actor will probably go to Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer. Actress in the leading role is going to probably go to Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon. And then the actress in the supporting role is probably going to be going to Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. I would love to see Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse get animated feature film, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No, it's not. Unfortunately, and it should.
Yes. But I would like to see, though, Greta Gerwig get the Oscar for the adapted screenplay. I think that will probably happen. So, yes. So that's my Oscar predictions before I even go to that, just so that you know. But anyway, I had looked back over the years, and I'm going to tell you my no particular order. So when I do this, it's not like this is the definitive one. But my five most we probably should look at again Best Picture winners. Now, I think the early 2000s brings a lot of questions, but I'm going to go back before that period. So starting with the first one, 1941, the Best Picture winner in 1941 was the film How Green Was My Valley. And a lot of people who are probably Academy Award historians will probably tell you that in hindsight, probably was the worst decision when you look back at it. That year, How Green Was My Valley won over Blossoms in the Dust, Here Comes Mr. Jordan, Hold Back the Dawn, The Little Foxes, 1 Foot in Heaven, Sergeant York, Suspicion, The Maltese Falcon, and another little-known film called Citizen Kane, which did not win Best Picture that year.
And so, it should have.
And it should have, when it did not. How Green Was My Valley won in 1941. But then it leads me to the second questionable Oscar winner. You have to go to 1956. And if you were a fan of film that year, the winner was Around the World in 80 Days. But it won over Friendly Persuasion, Giant, The King and I, and a Cecil B. DeMille spectacular called The Ten Commandments, which did not win Best Picture that year. Around the World in 80 Days won it that year. You could even go for The King and I and maybe even Giant, but Around the World won it. And then You fast forward to 1980. Oh, boy. 1980 was a very interesting year. The film Ordinary People won the Oscar for Best Picture. It beat out Tess, Coal Miner's Daughter, The Elephant Man, and a film that people perhaps say is probably the greatest sports film maybe of all time, Raging Bull. It did not get the Best Picture that year. So, no. But then the 80s, of course, was bad anyway, and you fast forward a few more years to 1985. 1985, the film that won was Out of Africa. What didn't win that year was Witness, Pritzi's Honor, Kiss of the Spider Woman, and a little-known Steven Spielberg film called The Color Purple. Didn't win.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize that. Wow.
Did not win Best Picture. Now, this one was hard. And forgive me, and I know the historic portion of it, but looking back, it brings me to the fifth such year. 2009. Now, if you really look at this one, you're really going to look back and probably say, Lamar could be right. The winner that year was The Hurt Locker, which got Kathryn Bigelow an Oscar and Best Director. While she should have deservedly got it for Best Directing, I don't think that she probably should have got Best Picture, because that year, 2009, which was the first time in a while that it had gone past five films, also up for Best Picture that year was Avatar, The Blind Side, District 9, and Education, and Glorious Bastards, Precious, A Serious Man, Up, and Up in the Air.
Mm-hmm.
No one really thinks more about The Hurt Locker now, 10 years later. But people will tell you about Avatar. They'll tell you about Up. They'll even tell you about Glorious Bastards and maybe even Precious. Some even The Blind Side, but it was cheesy perhaps and shouldn't have got it. It even hit Up in the Air, which was a good one from the Reitman brothers. But yes, it should not have. You know, the last few years have been very hard when you think about it. 2013, 12 Years a Slave won that year. Wolf of Wall Street was up, as well as Her, Dallas Buyers Club, American Hustle, didn't get it. Birdman in 2014, when Selma and The Theory of Everything was also that year. A lot of good years. Moonlight, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
That was an odd one because people thought La La Land was supposed to get it. So many. And in 2018, Green Book won it that year. The film's up for it. Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, A Star is Born. So, yes. So history, we don't know where it will be kind to this year's film, but yeah. But that's just my five overlooked ones. I'm not even going to go into like acting categories because we'd be here all night.
Yes.
So
yes, we would be, and we went a good hour just talking about just the last decade. So
yeah,
if you're taking in all time, yeah, forget it.
Yeah. So that will lead me now to the Smoking Gun files. So I don't even know where to go in order on this tonight. I'm going to be very careful. So the first Smoking Gun files comes from Pennsylvania, where a police report that a suspect made off with a 16-figure haul after burglarizing a Pennsylvania residence earlier this month. Investigators say that the Bedford home was broken into on February 6th by an unknown individual who made off with several pieces of jewelry, silver dollars worth $20, and $2 trillion in currency. It was Zimbabwean currency. According to a police report, 20 Zimbabwe $100 trillion bills were swiped by the burglar. For some reason, the report valued the stolen currency as worth $1 million U.S. However, the Zimbabwe bills issued during a period of hyperinflation are essentially worthless as currency. Instead, they're sold as pretty much oddity pieces for around $10 a piece. The burglar also escaped with $30 in loose change.
Nice.
And then comes the first odd story of a man wearing a crown of thorns and carrying a pinata menaced an elderly woman as she walked to work a few days ago, according to Florida cops, who say that the suspect denied accosting the victim and claimed he was only, quote, singing and dancing to his leprechaun song. As alleged in an arrest report, Ruth, a 74-year-old realtor, called 911 to report that a man approached her and began, quote, screaming at the top of his lungs a series of horrible profanities. Bullard said that the encounter left her, quote, frightened to death as she recounted the 10 a.m. incident. Bullard appeared to be emotionally distraught and began crying. Cops identified the suspect as Gregory Zopp, a notorious Hobie Sound nuisance who's, quote, has an extensive criminal history that includes battery, trespassing, harassment, disorderly conduct, and drug charges. After being read his rights, he told deputies that he was, quote, singing and dancing to his leprechaun song and continued to repeat that he was just singing. He was thereafter arrested for disorderly conduct, a misdemeanor, and booked into the county jail on a $150 bond. He pled no contest to threatening workers and customers at a delicatessen. The victim's cops reported had declined to give the panhandling Zoff any money. But at the time of that collar when they got him, witnesses reported that he was in black clothing with a crown of thorns on his head, and he had a Chucky doll following his January 29th arrest.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
a
yes.
Chucky doll?
Yep.
My goodness.
That doesn't even start the rest of the weirdos within this story. It gets even better. A 21-year-old last week walked into a Porsche dealership in Louisville, Kentucky, and sought to purchase a car with a $78 million check. When told by employees at Bluegrass Motorsport that they were, quote, not going to sell him the vehicle, the young man allegedly walked to the parts department looking for keys. He ignored requests to leave the dealership until he got his vehicle, according to a police citation. Fearing that, quote, something bad was going to happen because of his behavior, a worker called cops who arrested the young man after he again refused to depart the Porsche dealership. He was charged with criminal trespassing and disorderly conduct, both misdemeanors. He is scheduled to appear in district court. A day before trying to pass the $78 million check, he attempted to purchase a vehicle from a nearby Land Rover dealership, carrying a check for $12 million that day.
Well, if he's got those kind of millions, he can afford a lawyer. It'll be fine.
Surprised he didn't stay for the change. But then it leads to another odd story. So Michael Cooper Vest, he's 6'6", weighs 250 pounds, and he's known to wear a kilt. It made it easier for Texas business owners to identify him as the man who recently came into their antique store and shoved various items up his rectum before placing them back on the shelf for display, according to Texas court records. They alleged that Vest entered several shops in Spring, a Houston suburb, last week and engaged in criminal mischief, a misdemeanor. They specifically say that he first entered the Antique Gallery of Houston and placed a makeup brush and a restoration hardware piece in his anus before returning the merchandise valued at $130 to the shelf. He then showed up at the Curiosity Shop, which is located inside an antiques mall. The shop's owner told police that he took an antique bottle opener and a tobacco tent can, valued at $74, and placed them into his anus under his green skirt kilt to return the items to the shelf. In both instances, the merchandise handled by Vest had to be thrown away due to feces on them. After complaints identified him via a photo array, he was charged in connection with the vile incident. He was freed on a $100 bond and is scheduled for a court appearance. And he owned, according to this, a $600,000 home in the Woodlands, a community close to Spring. He is listed as retired in one court filing.
Wow. Okay.
But it gets better.
How does it get better? Oh, my God.
Two Ohio women propped up a man's corpse in their vehicle and withdrew money from the dead man's bank account before dropping the 80-year-old's body off in a hospital emergency room, according to police. Prosecutors charged Lauren Ferralo, 55, and Karen Cashbon, 63, with theft and gross abuse of a corpse, both felonies in connection with their alleged activities following the death of Douglas Lehman. According to police, the two women were not related to Lehman, but lived with him at his home in Ashtabula, a city about 50 miles from Cleveland. Cops say that Ferralo and Cashbon, with the help of a third individual, removed his corpse from the residence on Monday and placed the body in the front passenger seat of his car and then headed to a nearby bank's drive-through window. The bank, police say, had previously allowed the women to withdraw money from his account as long as he was accompanying them. On March 4th, a teller apparently was unaware that he was dead when the women pulled up and successfully took out $900. Investigators charged that the women placed him in the vehicle in such a manner that he would be visible to bank staff in order to make the withdrawal. They then drove to the Ashtabula County Medical Center, where they dropped off his body and departed without providing any information about the man or themselves. Police subsequently identified the duo, questioned them about the bizarre incident. The women said that Lehman died inside his home. His cause of death is under investigation. According to court records, Ferralo's rap sheet includes convictions for reckless assault, possession of drug paraphernalia, criminal trespass, driving under the influence, theft, and attempted possession of drugs. And then Cashman had previously been convicted of theft, soliciting, criminal trespass, receiving stolen property, and a lot more. That's almost a weekend at Bernie's in Ohio.
It's Ohio, though.
Of course, we could not end this story tonight without probably the one that probably tops them all. A Wisconsin
man.
A Wisconsin man who legally changed his name or his first name to These Nuts has been arrested following a violent domestic confrontation. These Nuts Kroll was busted Tuesday night for battery and disorderly conduct, both misdemeanors, which includes a Green Bay Police Department's observation that, quote, These Nuts appeared to be highly intoxicated. They alleged that Kroll punched his daughter and tangled with her boyfriend at the E. Walnut Street residence where the trio resides, according to a complaint. Kroll accused his daughter of failing to do small household chores and care for their puppies. At one point, cops led Kroll, who was unencumbered by a shirt, pulled out a BB gun that resembled a pistol. He was booked into the Brown County Jail, for which he was released Wednesday, posting a $1,000 bond. Born with the first name Derek Kroll, originally changed his name to These Nuts. He changed to Des Nuts in 2011, according to court records. Then 6 years later, he successfully petitioned to his first name, making it These Nuts. It was not spelled right, Kroll noted in handwritten 2017 name change application. he has stuck with the middle name.
Funny. Make it funny. I'll give him that. I'll give him that it does make it funny, but wow.
So, with all of that, that is the world around you, and the clock on the wall is telling us that we're just about out of time. That was a lot for the Gunpow tonight.
Yes, it was. And you know what? I enjoy it every time. So yay for smoking.
So any shout outs for you?
No, not really. I'm trying to think if we had any birthdays or anything. We have yay to all the women out there, you know.
Yes.
Bravo. Celebrate even if there's only a few hours left in your day. I don't have anything in my calendar for birthdays and anniversaries yet, but happy Mother's Day to Across the Pond and anybody that's celebrating on Sunday. And
yes,
that's all I've got. Oh, and if you are having issues, reach out. Please reach out. Even if they aren't, you know, it doesn't have to be end of the world kind of issues. It doesn't have to be, you know, the apocalyptic, but talk to your fellow person.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I do have a couple of birthdays. One, a dear friend of mine turns 50 on Tuesday. The 50 mark come Tuesday. And so happy birthday to her. And then my sister has a birthday next Wednesday.
Happy birthday!
Yes, happy birthday to her. So I did want to announce tonight, and we will announce more on our Facebook page, 2411 Lounge is coming up, one that actually does affect this show. This show will be preempted a few weeks from tonight on March 22nd. Friday, March 22nd, in the official time, and I'm going to get this so wrong, I hope not, 8 o'clock Central Time. My guess will be probably one of the most prolific, actually trans adult stars, Brittany Kate, will be here on Friday night, March 22nd. And then probably one of the most popular up-and-coming stars will be here on Sunday night, March 31st. And that is Dan Danger. She goes by Dan Danger, which I've got to ask her why. I'm guessing it's short for Danny. But she has already gotten and garnered some award nominations in her young career, but already on her site, I think she's already like past or close to like 400,000 followers, which is like insane. But yeah, if you've seen it, you know why. But she'll be on 31st. So Brittany Cade, 3 weeks from tonight on the Friday night, on March 22nd, and then on a Sunday night, on the 31st, which is actually Easter Sunday night, Dan Danger will be here. 401 Lounge's two of them coming up. I know also I'll be doing my annual trek over to, along with FX, over to do some work for PLM on the 17th, St. Patrick's Night. Once again, I'll be on with Dr. Dre of UMTV Rats fame, so excited to be talking to him again. But yes, we'll be right back with you here next Friday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. That's a lot of shows coming up here in the next few weeks.
Dr. Dre is a lot of fun, though. So, like, if anybody does not know, like, seriously, check that show out. He's a lot. He's a wealth of stories and knowledge, period.
And also, I'm a little bit nervous because Spontaneous has promised surprises. So I have no idea who's going to be calling in. So I told FX we'll be prepared. So that's coming up on the 17th on Sunday night. So we'll be quite busy here over the next month. And we might have another show or two to announce. But 3 weeks from tonight, the show gets preempted for a rare Friday night 411 Lounge. So I will have more details on the Twitter or an X. So hopefully you guys will follow along and tell your friends. I'm going to be really interested because there's been a lot of stuff recently involving, especially post-AVN Awards, about the trans stars and their place in the industry right now. Brittany Cade is probably one of the most known in that industry besides a few other names and well-known. So I am looking forward to chatting with her, getting her take on a lot of things happening within the industry. And yeah, so stay tuned. We will have that. But until next we meet, I agree with Mary and wholeheartedly saying that if you do need help, please reach out to your friends. Friends, reach out to your friends. Everybody take care of yourselves and each other. Thank you so much for listening, no matter where you are at, staying up late with us. And we will see you back here next Friday night here on Page One. In the meantime, for Mary, I'm LeVar. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great week ahead. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Thanks for listening to Page One.
Page One.
Don't forget to get the latest show info on Twitter at NewsCommentBTR and add us as a podcast on Apple, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and other platforms where we can be found.